How you doing, Tom?
Good.
Good.
Should we start the episode?
Exciting week. We've started, so.
Oh, have we though?
Yes, we have.
This wasn't what we discussed.
Well, we are recording, so that signifies start.
Didn't know you were recording.
So how was your week?
Exhilarating, wet, because it rained a lot, yeah? And I work outside, so.
Sure.
Not because I'm a prostitute.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Anything
I'd ask
exciting?
how was yours, but you'll just keep talking.
Right.
So, what were we talking about today?
Well, I posed a question, didn't I, earlier in the week. Should we be introducing capital punishment for prisoners or for people that commit crimes that are
Heinous
either,
crimes.
well, yeah, heinous crimes, but are also considered beyond repair. So primarily, we're talking about serial rapists, serial killers,
Yeah.
et
And there's a lot
cetera,
of
et
talk about
cetera.
this at the moment because obviously
Paedophiles.
there's a new documentary, isn't there, on Netflix about Ted Bundy,
Sure.
which alleviated serial killers into the limelight again. Because I think we as a society are fascinated with serial killers.
We are fascinated.
And psychopaths. There's something alluring we find about them, even though they're, serial killers and cold-hearted in quotation marks.
I think it's less about it's the fact that a human being can do such grisly things to another human being. Like, we're all brought up thinking that, you shouldn't hurt anyone, you shouldn't be nasty to anyone. So you especially now at these times when political correctness is a massive issue, for someone to go to the length of killing someone in a very gruesome way is quite shocking, and people find it quite exciting to actually,
Grossly fascinating.
to find out about, well, what drove them to do it.
Yeah.
I was reading a book about, I think it was Interview with a Serial Killer. Fascinating thing. I mean, I watched Mindhunter as well, which was amazing. It talks about how FBI developed their methods of identifying serial killers and predicting what their next moves are, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
So it's
Finding patterns.
I find it, and and the more that you study, obviously the bigger the data set has become, the more similarities you'll see. So they're able to look at a crime scene and say, okay, well, if it's this serial killer who's killing only women, that means more likely than not he's had issues with his mother, who used to either beat him or neglect him or rape him or whatever. So it's quite interesting.
You do get exceptions to the rule. So I
Always,
know
always.
there are certain hallmarks that you can find in people, but then you look at, for example, Ted Bundy, and the guy had a pretty normal upbringing, didn't he?
Well, yeah, this was the thing that I think puzzled everyone, is that so a lot of it is nature and nurture. And what they have is you have the propensity to be a serial killer, but the way that you were brought up or your experience in the past has pushed you to actually become a killer, because something, you were abused as a child, and then something in your adult life has flicked a trigger and set you off.
Yeah.
With Ted Bundy, I think he's one of the very few examples of someone that is just naturally programmed to be a serial killer, feels no emotion.
A psychopath.
Yeah, completely psychopathic, complete sociopath, etc., etc.
It is really interesting. It's fascinating, actually. But obviously, the topic of today being, well, we
Well,
wanted to talk about capital punishment and stuff, didn't we?
yeah, true,
So,
true.
if we were to talk about, because obviously, America, they do have, well, certain states do have capital punishment. But we're also talking about the penal system, and if you had someone today who was capable of crimes like Ted Bundy, which I'm sure there are people out there, but you had them in custody, They would not be able to escape now, would they? In the Western world.
Well, you still hear about people escaping, though. Pentonville Prison, a couple of dudes escaped, didn't they?
Yeah, but that's not a Maxville. That's not a max security prison, is it?
No, no, no. Okay, so I see what you mean. So if it's a max, okay, fear. Yeah. I think there'll be less, definitely less chance of you escaping a max security prison.
But do you think, so who takes accountability for, you know, because obviously Ted Bundy, he escaped and he killed someone, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I think he killed two people, didn't he? Or he tried to kill someone else. Who takes accountability for that? Because he's in custody.
Well, this is where I think the rules have changed because of people like him. Because they kind of left him in a library.
Yeah.
And he jumped off a library window, out of a library window and escaped. And obviously now you have to be handcuffed. Obviously you won't ever be allowed in a library after killing countless number of women.
Sure.
And you won't be in any way mobile, in a sense that there'll be handcuffs and foot cuffs.
Supervised.
You'll be completely supervised, etc., etc.
Because he also escaped out of a cell by squeezing through a tiny hole in the ceiling. Have you not watched it?
I did watch it, but I didn't. I don't remember that.
He basically emaciated himself. He didn't eat. And, I think he took like a light fixture out or something, or he took one of those styrofoam boards off. I bet he squeezed through a tiny hole. I don't know how I would never have fitted, even after emaciation.
Wow. Yeah, but that's a long way to go for you.
It is a very long way. So, but where do you stand? So we'll ask the question before and at the end of the podcast.
Sure, sure.
Where do you stand with capital punishment? Are you pro or are you against?
See, this is the dilemma that I had. I was always pretty much against it because I thought, well, you know, you can, and no one is beyond repair for me. I thought that in the beginning. And then I thought, actually, you know what? Some people are just, like a lot of paedophiles are considered to be sick individuals who have this, who have a uncontrollable hunger to commit sexual assault to kids,
right,
or to kill kids in some cases. So for me, if that's the case, then actually there has to be a distinction made between people that are paedophiles but never act on it, and people who are paedophiles who act on it, hurt people.
Do that again. Sorry.
That's staying in the... No, that's actually... I'm going to leave that in. Tom's dog just fucking appeared out of nowhere. Instead of locking them in a kitchen, he thought, nah.
Why would I lock them
leave
in
them
kitchen?
Be. Leave them be, mate. As I was saying, people, there's a difference between people that want to commit crime but don't, and people that do. I think if you do, and you, it's a bit like when dogs bite a human being, they develop a hunger to do it more and more.
Right.
So I think you know, and we put dogs down for that. So I think in a way you kind of, I think you have to put them down.
Okay, fair enough. I am of a similar standing. I remember when I did my A-level law, it was one of our first debates talking about the death penalty. And one of the against was always, oh, why are you giving them the easy way out? Let them suffer. They're in a max security prison. You know, they can have reading material, and you know, it's not really suffering Do you know what I mean? All right, fine, they'll never get to be a free man again. But that it's still not a sufferance, is it? It's
but
not...
but also some, if we take serial killers, for example, they don't...
They don't feel remorse.
No, so they don't suffer.
But well, that's precisely my point. Oh, let them rot. They're not going to rot. They still qualify for basic human rights.
Yeah, they're just more restricted in their freedom.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that they suffer.
So if anything, actually, they're a burden on me now because I'm paying for them to be in prison.
I'll tell you who suffers most in prisons. Crime to suffer ratio. It's people in America because they have this stupid system in America where it's three strikes. So if you...
Yeah, the three strikes law is ridiculous.
Yeah. So if you deal weed, so say you sell an eight to someone.
Yeah.
And then you get caught and put in and you get, you know, that's the first strike. If you do the same thing two more times, you get put into jail. So have they hurt anyone? No, not really, considering that weed is now legal.
Yeah.
Not in all states, but in most. In a lot of anyway. Have they committed a heinous crime? No, they haven't. Are they going to go to prison where inmates have committed heinous crimes? Yes, they are. So in that case, it's kind of, I don't see the point in that. That is suffering for committing a very, very minor crime.
Absolutely. It's...
Whereas I think if you kill someone because you have a yearning to kill someone,
yeah,
because you're a serial killer, or you have a hunger to touch and kill kids, you're not going to suffer. And plus, you're beyond repair, I think, at that stage.
This is the thing. This is where ethics come into it. If you're, quote-unquote, a natural-born killer, for example, how do you... It's difficult to say why you should punish someone for that. Because at the end of the day, and I'm not, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but they're exhibiting normal human behaviour. Even, all right, not normal, abnormal, but still human behaviour. There's been psychopaths before, there's been psychopaths before law and order and society.
Sure.
So,
but that's not the norm. If you take a population of 100,000,
no. But my point is, but what if it's something evolutionary?
But well, yeah, but evolutionary. The norm is also evolutionary, right? So you take that's why per 100,000 there might be
one
person who's a serial killer.
Yeah, but my point would be that what if it is some sort of natural way for population control?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, fine. As in serial killers are born to hunt other human beings.
Essentially.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. But then we as a human society in general consider taking someone else's life when it's unprovoked.
Yeah, but you're bringing
there's morality in that.
Into it. Yeah, you're bringing morality into it, and I don't think that morality is necessarily human. It's learnt. It's societal. It's cultural.
Yeah.
You look at some cultures, and they're less morally bound than others.
For example.
Well, for example, you have. Take Westerners, for example, and morality doesn't just stop, by the way, on the border of humans. We extend our morality to animals. So I saw a video the other day of a couple of Chinese people in some backwards-ass fucking...
Racist?
Don't take it racially, mate. I know you're from Kazakh, so, you know, I can tell the difference. I can't.
Always the same.
whereabouts in Japan are you from?
Yeah.
Kazakhstan's not real, mate. So basically, it was two Chinese fucking peasants in a peasant village, and they're filming themselves kicking a live dog onto a fire and cooking it.
Yeah.
Well, that's immoral.
Man's gotta eat, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. But there's no morality there, and they don't understand why us little soft Westerners get so upset about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because we exist, I agree with you that morality is very much a human construct, and it is a social construct. But without morality, we wouldn't have. There'd be chaos.
I agree, and but this is precisely my point. When you have morality, then you can build structure and you can build society, yeah, and you can prosper. But if you're prospering a little bit too much, if you're far too prosperous, then you start running out of resources. So surely a natural way to inhibit that would be some people are just born without morality.
But then you're giving them a license to kill.
I'm not giving it to them.
No, but as a nature society, is. If you...
No. Take society out of it. You have to... I'm just talking about...
Oh, right. So are they naturally born to control population? Yeah, yes. Possibly.
I mean, if you look at the natural world, and there are population controls everywhere. Go to the Amazon rainforest, and there's a fungus called Cordyceps, the Cordyceps fungus, and there are hundreds of thousands of different species of it. But each species targets a very specific species. It targets one species. So if you have a tree ant, then you'll have a tree ant Cordyceps. And you will find that the fungus is more prevalent in areas around the rainforest where, obviously, the insect or whatever in question is more populous. So it trims down the population, and it keeps a natural balance rather than one thing prevailing over another.
Yeah, so if we take that point, because it may be true, or it may be a mutation in the gene code that is just...
Evolution is mutation.
No, but in terms of, it's not...
If it was a one-off, then you wouldn't get that many.
Yeah, I suppose the issue is that we don't really know. We only know about the ones that are caught. We don't know the ones that are not.
Well,
caught.
There are loads of psychopaths. About 1% of the population is a psychopath.
Which is a lot.
Which is a lot.
7 million. Yeah. No, 17 million in the world.
Yeah. But not all of them are high-functioning, murdering ones. You don't have to be a murderer to be a psychopath or a sociopath. There's books about it.
But serial killers who are...
Serial killers are... psychopaths. Yeah, because I mean, one of the traits of being a psychopath is not being able to control your urges.
Because this kind of falls flat then, your theory, because if they are born to be controlling population, then not all psychopaths kill. So it's only...
No, but it's varying degrees, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's out of that 1%, there's only, say, another 1% that kill.
Yeah, but... You're expecting perfection.
No, I'm more expecting uniformity, which I suppose is impossible.
Exactly.
But do I believe that that's a population control? I don't think it is. I think it's body chemistry, isn't it?
Really? Well, it's just a thought, but it's a potential. I mean, not everything has a reason or a purpose, but most things do.
Oh, God.
So, hear me now. I don't know. There could be some credence to it. There could not be. But going back onto the topic, I am. As long as the evidence is 100%, so there can be no discrepancies. There has to be 100%. Conviction.
Well, I think this is part of the issue with capital punishment at the moment, is that unless you're caught red-handed, there's still a way to not fully know what's happening, right, and to not fully know whether the person is guilty. So do you only, in our case, you introduce capital punishment for serial killers or killers in general, people who take people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Do you only punish the ones that are red-handed because you know that that is the case? You probably do at first, until such time that technology and our system becomes very good and flawless, or say there's a 0.1% degree of error.
Yeah, you have to have a degree of error.
Because at the same time, we have to recognize that, and I do, that we are taking someone's life away. And if they're wrongly convicted,
then you've murdered someone.
Then you just killed someone, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah.
But that's nothing new.
No. And this is in a way why capital punishment has been banned in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is it's barbaric. Secondly, you are killing someone who may be innocent.
Yeah.
And you don't know that until you do. But I do think that there is a special place in hell for people that, and I think if your cerebral chemistry is wired to uncontrollably lure and rape kids, you should die. Because there is no benefit to society if you're released.
No.
But
what do you do for the psychologically scarred people that do that? So people who had dreadful upbringings.
I mean, look, it's absolutely, it's a horrible thing to go through. But not every person becomes a child rapist who has been abused as a child.
No, but for the ones who have, you can't just put them to death.
Well, I think you do.
Why?
Because they have an uncontrollable urge to kill and rape kids.
Can't you just find a safe space for them?
Yeah.
Like prison.
No. Well, part of my thought about this is that it's a problem of two halves. We have a large prison population which requires a lot of funding, which is also being mismanaged.
Mm-hmm.
So do you manage the prisons well? Yes, you do. But also the whole point is that, especially if you look at the States, where something like, I don't want to misquote, but something like 10% of their population is in prison, or something like that, something stupid. It's a large number. You know, it's kind of, I don't know, I just think, now that technology got to a point where it is much easier to find someone or to convict someone of wrongdoing, your population for prisons is only going to climb up. So how do you do it? Do you build more prisons, or do you reduce the number of people that go into prison, or do you just kill off whoever's really, really bad?
I think, I don't know. I just don't think prison's that good of a deterrent in the first place.
I don't think so. I think, if anything, sentences over 20 years do nothing to a prisoner, apart from debilitate his life and everyone around him. So I think there isn't enough done to rehabilitate prisoners into society.
Mm.
So someone who's been out for 10 years, let's say, someone who's been out for 20 years, in the last 20 years, so much has happened that they would not be even part of, that when they come out to the real world, say it was someone who robbed or held someone hostage and robbed a place and got 20 years for it.
Mm-hmm.
If he, once they come out, the world is going to be completely different. Phones, society, technology, everything is going to be completely different.
Yep.
And they're sort of released and said, yeah, okay, well, now you've got to find your way in the world. Now, the first thing that they think of is, well, fuck it, I don't understand what's going on.
I'm going to get myself sent back down.
But I do know what works, and that is
crime.
So I agree with you that I don't think it's a deterrent as much as we want it to be.
But how much of it do you think can be stopped by perhaps the government putting more money into youth programs? Because if you take London, for example, you have a lot of young kids getting involved and doing initiation sort of crimes. So, they're coming into a gang and their initiation is, right, you gotta go and stab that guy.
Yeah. I
I
think
just,
part.
you have to have outreach. And the thing is, we let society just drop down into the chasms.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. The issue is not really having enough youth groups. The issue is that a lot of these people are born into an environment where they can't succeed and they don't belong. And the only way to belong is to partner up with people who are in similar situations, who will use you to kill someone, etc., etc. The best way to do it is to actually level the playing field slightly.
Well, there has to be money put into their community, surely,
Yeah.
because some of the places that they're growing up, it's not right for kids, all these high rises and, really depleted areas.
Yeah, and I think I think again, it's not as easy as just saying if we give them money, they're going to be fine.
Of course not, because education comes into it and job opportunities, etc.,
Exactly,
etc.
exactly. It's it there are so many dominoes in a row that have to fall down before it all works together. That it does start with things like, well, how are their parents doing? Are their parents scraping by and therefore have to work four jobs, leaving this kid alone to kind of nurture himself, and therefore he gets in with a bad crowd. Do we have champions in their communities who promote education as a way out of poverty? Could you eliminate poverty to a point where actually, is it poverty or is it racial discrimination as well as poverty? There are so many variables that have to be considered before an answer is given. And I'm not sure, unfortunately, I'm not sure that you can have a fully stable society without full buy-in from all members of it or the majority of its members into how that society is governed or developed. So if you look at a lot of people say, oh, look at social societies like the Scandinavian countries. Now, the one thing that you see in Scandinavian countries is it's predominantly white, predominantly native white. So in Sweden, there's predominantly Swedish, white Swedish people who generation to generation grow up with certain cultural beliefs, what you call them,
Right.
understanding and morals and principles that they all adhere to, and this is passed down generation to generation. Now, if you have someone coming in who doesn't have that, so if you take London, there is definitely a huge divide between white youth and black youth. Then you have a divide between white youth who are not in the lower classes, as it's known here, and white youth in the middle classes. And therefore, there's already a disconnect between white youth in middle classes and black youth in lower classes. So, it's kind of, it's this ever-growing tree of issues. So the only way that these Scandinavian countries have done it, and the only common thing about them, is that they are predominantly one nationality, one race,
But we know that that's
and
never
one
gonna
culture.
that that's never gonna be the future, is it? That's not the future.
No, exactly. So we have to find a way. The only way to find that is normalization of, in a way, it's what, controversially, it's what Hitler wanted, which is socialist nationalism.
Okay.
The nation is above everything, and all the people are provided for but they have to believe in the greatness of the nation, and therefore everyone chips in. Now, his understanding of it wasn't just nationality, but also race. So if you exclude the race side of things, the concept of National Socialism is actually that everyone works and does things for the best betterment of the country.
Is this your Soviet blood speaking?
No. I mean, look, I think there's a lot of misconception between nationalist socialism and what Hitler did. Hitler was a racist. He just hid racism within nationalist socialism. If you look at the nationalist socialist theory, yes, it's extreme in how it wants to achieve things. Mm-hmm. But at the heart of it is you place the nation above everything else.
So how do we extrapolate this then? How do we expand it into what it needs to be, which is a global population?
I don't think it can be. There are way too many discrepancies between different cultures, different understandings, different principles.
So what do you think is the largest, the biggest grouping that we can have? Because, you know, we're a continent, we're on the continent.
Yeah.
So you have countries that are really close in proximity to each other and are therefore going to have relatively similar cultures and views, etc. So do you engulf them and do you become one sort of, you know, bigger, you know, like Germany, Austria, Poland, France? Do they all become one country and then Switzerland gets broken off into three or four?
Different people from different cultures buy into the culture that they live in. Mm-hmm. So, for example, take me. I come from Kazakhstan, which is morally and principally very different because we went through communism, etc., etc., and now we've got democracy.
So they have no morals and their principles are...
It's just different. It's just really different. But I bought into and I understood the benefits of the culture here.
Sure.
Now, because I bought into it, I then do things to actually promote and better that culture which I'm part of. If you believe that culture is excluding you or is against you, you will not, and therefore the two will always be at loggerheads, which means you're never going to have consensus.
Right.
So we might be saying that, you know, we need more youth groups for underprivileged black kids to stop killing each other. Let's just say that's a thing for us. Well, they might turn around and say, well, actually, that's not the problem here. The problem is actually the fact that we see no future. The problem, so then what do? Well, okay, fine, so what do you need to get future? You need good education. Okay, so we need to improve our education standards. But not everyone wants to learn, not everyone can learn. And our education system is so antiquated that I don't think it works anymore for people of this generation. Our generation above.
In this country?
Yeah, yeah.
So, where do you see the future of crime and punishment?
Well, I think...
In this country, I mean, we've already established that we don't think that the penal system is anywhere near an adequate deterrent. People aren't going to be bringing back the capital punishment anytime soon because, you know, it's going to be too offensive for people. You know, because we live in such a wrapped in cotton wool era at the moment. Not that I'm hankering for hangings on a Sunday. But what do you think would be an active deterrent, you know, for petty crime? And where do you see, because prisons are getting overpopulated and obviously they're becoming a bit of a burden on the taxpayer, etc., etc.
Mm.
So... I mean, I don't know what the penal system's like in Kazakhstan or any of the other countries that you've lived in, but where do you see it heading? What would, if you were a future minister, if you were a minister of the, you know, were aiming your country, where would you take the penal system?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I think it's such a... I want to believe that actually we don't, we're going to have less of prisoners in prison and the need for less prisons, because as a society will progress and get more educated and realize, and there'll be more opportunities for people to not do what they have to do to survive.
Right.
But I think actually it's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, I've always thought, and you sort of alluded to it earlier when you were saying, you know, if someone's in prison for 10 years and they come out and they don't understand how society's working and
yeah.
everything's changed and blah, blah, blah. Why not have a system where if you have, say you have a crimes that go up and up and up in different categories, so, you know, like petty theft and ABH and stupid crimes like, you know, stealing a car or robbing someone in the street, why can't you get those people in working gangs, and instead of keeping them in a prison, you keep them in some sort of mediocre comfort, still secure, but mediocre comfort, and you have them functioning for society. So you give them jobs. And I'm not talking about a job where you pay them 50p a day. You know, you give them an actual job with a legitimate wage, which they can't touch, but it's what they can build for when they come out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be road workers and you know, do good for the community. Go and clean areas. I'm not talking about community service where you can rock up. Do you know what I mean? And you've got your bloody guard with you. I'm talking about literal... Think of it in like America. Do you remember when they had the road gangs and they're breaking out rocks and building the railroads?
Mm-hmm.
Why could that not be something? Why is that not a more functional use of our taxes? And it gets people, young people, working and understanding how the working system, you know, works. And they're not penniless when they come out. Because if they've committed a crime out of fear and destitution, then surely the biggest deterrent for crime would actually be to give people a future.
Yeah, yeah. I think the other thing is that actually, if you have a criminal record, you're almost unemployable.
Yeah.
And that's another issue that we have. But you also have to... I also sympathise with that theory because... I don't know the statistic, but I wonder how many people end up back in jail after they've been released. And I wonder what percentage of those people is because they tried but couldn't get anywhere.
Yeah.
Or just didn't try and thought, well, all I know is how to do this, therefore yeah. I just do this.
I think some people just don't have the personality for mainstream work. Some people are just antisocial, not necessarily murderers, but some people are just, you know, they're antisocial. They shouldn't necessarily be punished for it. And if you're going to segregate them, then of course they're going to commit crime because you're going to fit them with other antisocial people and, you know, you're effectively starting a movement.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, like you just alluded to, I wonder how much of crime is committed not because of someone wanting to commit crime, but someone almost doing it out of anger and segregation.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? So you go to prison because you've committed a crime because you're frustrated, you can't get a job and there's no, you know, there's an economic crisis, there's nothing going on around you. You go to prison, it's like boot camp, you're treated like a squaddy, but, you know, you're going to work, you're cleaning roads and you're doing things and taking crap to recycling centres and refuse collection and whatever, filling up potholes. You're doing bog standard work, you're getting £5 an hour, you're working 9-hour days. You're not allowed to touch it, but that's your future. If you're in there for a 4 or 5 year sentence and you're not allowed to touch it, you know, you've got, all of a sudden you've got a work ethic. There's obviously there should be scope for some sort of education.
I think that's a big thing. I think education in prisons should be mandatory.
Absolutely. People should be forced.
Yeah.
Well, not forced, because some people just can't learn.
Yeah,
but
that's
it
fine.
should,
But
you know, it did, I'm not saying that it should be forced and write, here's Dostoevsky, write an essay on it in the morning.
Yeah.
But what's your bricklaying skills like?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Have you ever wondered about being a plumber? You know, they're vocational skills. You don't need to be good at maths. You don't need to be a literature expert.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think prisons should be more, if because they're called reform systems.
Yeah.
But they don't reform.
There's no reformation.
They just, it's just a place where you are.
It's where you stay for 5 years.
Exactly. And you might get killed. You might have to join a rival gang.
You might take spice.
Well, you definitely have to, yeah. You might end up brewing your own alcohol.
Yeah, in the toilet.
And therefore,
toilet wine.
Exactly, and therefore, actually, you didn't reform anything.
If anything, you made them worse.
Yeah, absolutely, because you showed them that actually, society isn't going to put any effort into you. Once you're a prisoner, you're always going to be a prisoner.
If you watch, and I'm not going to paint everyone with the same brush here, but if you watch any sort of crime documentary or whatever, and you get the little scallywagon who's done something, the little fucking scroat. Have you done time before? Yeah, I've done 4 years in Texas, and I've done 2 years in New York. But they seem proud of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, sorry, why are you proud that you're a non-functioning member of society?
Well,
what is there to be proud of there? I don't get it.
Okay, so this is an interesting case. I don't know if you follow it at all. There's a rapper called Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Right, I have heard of him, yes.
And he...
hasn't he got another name?
Something Hernandez.
Right.
And he... He basically... He's very famous for affiliating himself with the Blood Gang in the States. For surrounding himself with gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
Real gangsters,
yeah.
Being part of the Treyway crew, I think they're called, and they, you know, a legit blood gang,
mm-hmm.
Violence, drug dealing, blah 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 blah, robbery, whatever. And he was kind of proud of that they accepted him, and he, you know, threw their gang signs, and he was like, you know, the Treyway. He was filmed putting hits out on people. He was filmed telling the police to fuck off and saying that if you touch me, you know, these guys will kill you. I roll with killers, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been charged by the FBI on racketeering and assault charges. And he flipped on them.
Really?
So the latest rumor is that he's actually a snitch now. Now, he glamorized that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Of being in gangs, rolling with killers, guns everywhere, girls everywhere, drugs everywhere. I don't give a fuck. I will kill you. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. And he flipped because he does not want to serve, because he was going to get something like 20 to 30 years in prison. Now imagine going from a rapper who's like, he's like 20, 22.
Yeah, he's a kid.
Imagine going from wearing diamond chains, driving Ferraris, girls all the time, parties, the best clothes available, duetting with, what's her face? A female rapper. And just being like the kid, being the king. And then suddenly, being slapped with a 20-year prison sentence, potentially.
Yep.
So he flipped. He does not want to do it. Now, what does that show you? That the guy, I think this is the thing. If you show people that you can have a peaceful and good life, no one wants to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think that there's nothing in life that you can achieve because of societal and cultural barriers, that all you have, all the signs only point to crime as a way out, because that's the fastest way to get money. That's the easiest way to get money, because you don't need to study, you don't need to put effort in.
I mean,
he has a lot
that's
to
not
lose.
Even true, though, is it?
Well, no, because
if you look at successful, if you look at proper gangsters, I mean, you know,
you're talking like Al Capone, and
I'm talking like mafia.
Yeah,
they're clever guys. They're not stupid. Well, some of them have high education.
Yeah, but not all of them.
Not all of them. But what I'm saying is,
what they need to understand is that they, as lower level soldiers, are being used as much as
a worker's being used.
Exactly. A CEO is using his QS.
Yeah.
To make
money.
It's
no different. It's no different.
It's no different, but one will end you up in jail. Yes, you may earn more money than a graduate QS than if you go and sell drugs on the streets.
Yes. But one has a much lower life expectancy as well.
Exactly. That's the thing. That for me is, that message has to be it. But also, it's not just saying, you have to show them that this is actually a thing.
Yeah.
My issue is, I don't know how you can show young people coming up in underprivileged communities that this isn't the right way to do it. All you need to do is study, because it takes a lot of effort. You know, from the age of 7 to the age of 21, you need to be putting time and effort into it. And the other thing is, if you don't have parents who support you emotionally, morally, but also educationally, it's very difficult.
So, yeah, but we've come full circle, really, because what we're saying is underprivileged areas need youth support
but
money
they need,
pumped into them.
Yeah, it's more than youth support. It's youth support from family values as well.
So do you also think, then, that education needs to be made more accessible? Maybe even the education system needs a reform.
Oh, massively. I think it needs a massive reform because not everyone is going to be good at mathematics.
Not everyone
Some people,
wants to read a book.
Exactly. Some people might be amazing plumbers or amazing engineers. And, I really respect teachers who influence students who just don't want to learn, but they show them a way to get into engineering. You know, not many people know that Stormzy was an A-star student on his way to Oxbridge.
Yeah.
To do engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of, you know, he took the music route and now he's a famous rapper.
Yeah, he's got his foundation, isn't he?
But, exactly, but his mother was a huge influence on him, and he says this frequently, that my mother always said, get your education.
Yeah.
So she coerced him into believing that actually a way to get out of the project and communal housing is through education. If you do this and you go to Oxford or Cambridge, you are set for life.
Well, there's another example, isn't there? Tupac Shakur. He may not have gone to, I don't think he went to university, but he got scholarships to go to a very prestigious art school.
Right, okay, didn't know that.
He was massively into, obviously, he's a really educated guy, he was massively into literature, massive Shakespeare fan, and he was a star in quite a number of plays by this, I think it was the Baltimore School of the Arts.
Right.
And he had a scholarship, so his mother was obviously pushing him, saying, look,
well,
he needs to be on top of the game here.
His mum, am I confusing her with Kanye West's mum? But I thought she was a teacher herself, wasn't she?
Oh, that was Kanye West.
That's Kanye West, okay.
Yeah, she was a university lecturer.
Yeah, yeah.
Tupac's mum was an ex-Black Panther.
Oh, right, okay. So very socially, politically active.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But she got herself off the charges, apparently. She represented herself. So, you know, obviously an intelligent woman.
Yeah. But I think if you look at all the big players in the Black community, and we're concentrating on the Black community here, just because it's the most obvious one to talk about.
Yes.
Well, in the UK, anyway. If you look at the States, LeBron James never went to college, struggled massively because he was he grew up in a poor family. I think it was just him and his mom. He loved learning and he loved school, but he said there was a time when his mom's car broke and he couldn't make it to the bus or to the school.
Mm-hmm.
So he missed weeks of school. So what he did is he set up a school for underprivileged kids, free transport, free technology, free uniforms. It's basically for anyone who lives within 2 miles, free transport as well. It's a place for anyone to come in and learn.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Dr. Dre and one of his producers. Anyway, same with Dr. Dre. He opened an arts college.
Okay.
For music and for arts. So they clearly recognize that actually a way to get out of the ghetto is through education and having access to education and blah, blah, blah. So what we need...
But I mean, that's
even Stormzy, like you said, even Stormzy set up his foundation to bring kids from underprivileged backgrounds into Oxford or Cambridge University.
You only have to listen to... What Nas song is it where he's talking about... I know I can be what I want to be. What song is that? That's a fantastic message.
Yeah.
That he's just pumping out there saying, you don't need to be a gangbanger. You don't need to sell drugs. You don't need to do this, that, and the other.
But at the same time, the issue that I have with hip-hop is, yes, they do amazing stuff, and later in their life, Nas is slightly different, but even like if you think about Tupac Shakur, a lot of his music was about drug dealing, gang banging.
Yes,
because it's a real way of life. But what perhaps the message should have been is what Nas did, which is say, yes, this is how it is, but we don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Same as, you know, Dr. Dre and gangster rap. You know, fuck the police. It wasn't. It was a real snapshot of what was happening at the time, but now he realizes that actually, yes, it enabled me to do this. What I was doing and talking about and glamorizing drugs and violence now actually allows me to invest in people's futures through education.
Yeah,
and I think what they're doing is absolutely like that. LeBron James school sounds absolutely amazing. St. Vincent, it's called St. Vincent St. Mary High School. So this is last year, there's an article on the BBC, LeBron James opens school for underprivileged children. The I Promise School will house 240 at-risk third and fourth grade students in James's hometown in Ohio. It looks absolutely incredible. It looks absolutely incredible. You know,
I'm sure Tupac Shakur tries to open one as well, because I'm sure they've got like the Shakur Foundation.
Yeah, but I think that's after his death, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But you know, he was only a young man when he died. But
so okay, just because I want to really shine a bit of light onto this. So he guarantees college tuition to graduates.
Right.
You get free tuition, free uniforms, free breakfast, lunch, and snacks, free transportation within 2 miles, a free bicycle and a helmet,
wow,
access to a food pantry for their family, and guaranteed tuition for all graduates to the University of Akron.
Wow. Where's that?
That's in Ohio.
That's incredible.
You know, this is the kind of stuff that should inspire people that actually, you know, and you never hear him, LeBron James, talking about drugs or girls or violence or glamorizing violence because he's an athlete.
Yeah.
So his way of getting out of wherever he was A, to be genetically very gifted because the guy's a monster.
Yeah.
But B, also working fucking hard to where he is now, to the point that he just smashes it, and he's got enough money to be the primary donor for the school, but also to attract other people and to inspire other people to do similar. And I hope they do. I really hope they do. So I think more icons like that is what's needed for younger people, whether black, white, or Asian, or whatever, to think that actually violence and drug dealing is not the right way to get out of my situation.
Do you know what the sad thing is? As much as I agree with you, I have a tendency to disagree that the icon should do it. I would argue that it's not, I don't want to say the responsibility, but it's not their responsibility to do this. At the end of the day, who's making money off LeBron James? The NBA. Who's making money off people like Tom Brady? I don't know many American footballers, but...
The NFL, yeah.
The NFL. They're multi-billion dollar companies. Leagues, whatever you want to call them. Associations, leagues, whatever. They're multi-billion dollars. You know, even, you know, MLS and the baseball league. Maybe even as far as the hockey league. You know, certainly for the more northern states.
Or the Premier League.
Or the Premier League, certainly. I know that a lot of Premiership football clubs do, you know, obviously they have their academies, etc., etc. But I really think it should be... surely it's in their benefit.
No, but I don't think it is.
Well, you look at the amount of underprivileged kids that are now basketball players, for example.
I don't think it's that many. To be honest with you, I think a lot of those kids, take Jordan for example, he went to university before he started bombing on people in the NBA.
Right. But I mean, do you see the point though?
So
obviously you have LeBron, he's obviously, you know, he's a multimillionaire, and fair play to him.
Job well done.
Well, he's just an amazing athlete, and all you can do is tip your cap to him. But you know, you have these leagues and you have the teams, et cetera, that make substantially more money. If he's getting paid X, then you know, the people that are paying him, for example, not just Nike or any of his sponsors, but you're massively putting me off. What are you doing?
Just admiring my new haircut, mate. I'd rather you didn't. Keep going.
Just for the record,
but I kind of
Dimitri is pruning himself.
That's right. I kind of disagree with you though, because I think it is up to the individuals.
I'm not saying the individuals shouldn't do it,
because the businesses behind the individuals won't do it. They just won't. They're not concerned about the greater wealth of society. They're more concerned about their business. So that's why, unfortunately, I agree with you that should they do it? Yes, of course they should, because they're multi-billion pound companies. Nike should be doing this. Why can't Nike have a sports academy for underprivileged kids? They might do already, I don't know. But there's no reason why. The fact that we don't know about it means that it's not as well publicized.
But you would have thought for public relations that big companies like this that are in the spotlight, you know, it's on LeBron's chest, it's on Ronaldo's boot. You would have thought that they would want the publicity. They would want, look what we're doing for the local community. Look what we're doing in your town. Look what we're doing to depreciate crime in your area. By the way, here's our new shoe. Yeah, have you seen the £500 new sneaker that LeBron's smashing up and down the court for the Cleveland or whoever he plays for now?
They don't have to, because it still sells.
It's just a real shame.
It is a shame. I agree with you. That the amount of money in sports and entertainment, I'm surprised to run more of these kind of schools that like LeBron's. You know, I mean, you know, the privileges that are read to you. Free breakfast, lunch, free bike and a helmet, free transport.
I wonder how many people subscribe to it.
240 kids.
Is that it?
Well, I'm not sure you can fit more.
I mean, it's amazing. 240 kids off the streets is good, but in the grand scheme of things,
I think realistically what the government should be doing is partnering up with those people.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, this kind of system works, why don't we partner up with you and expand that school for 600 people?
Yeah. And then, because it would surely work in the government, or, you know, maybe not the entire government, but certainly local governments. State government, for example.
Yeah, yeah. But then, yeah, I mean, it's a very... the ideal way of doing it is if government education was good, but it catered to, say, 80% of the people, because you'll never cater to 100. And then the other 20% were captured by individual companies or individual people to promote and capture the other 20% that disregard traditional education as useful.
So, going along the theme then, with individuals setting up educational support for underprivileged kids, do you think that perhaps services and I don't mean armed forces, but, you know, like big plumbing companies, for example, or big electrical contractors, even Morrison's, you know, which is, if you don't know, it's a food store in the UK. Do you think they should be doing outreach?
I think they do, in a very small way, but I think they do.
Do they?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What's the biggest electrical contractor in the country? I mean, do you think that they take kids on?
That they sponsor things like, it's not so much kids, but they'll sponsor 16-year-olds through.
College. Apprenticeships,
yeah. So it's kind of, but the issue is, it's not just 16, it's that magical age between almost 9 and 16.
Yeah, a very impressionable age.
Exactly.
It's actually when you grow the most grey matter, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's that time that you're absorbing the most information.
Exactly.
And if that's bad information, then your brain is going to be wired badly.
Exactly. You know, if all you see is people making money through drug dealing,
yeah,
at the age of 11 to 16, you're going to think that that's the only way to make money.
But do you think that those people in this circumstance are irreparable?
No, I don't think so.
So they're not. So if you have a 9-year-old black kid in the slums of Los Angeles somewhere, and he's grown up penniless, no father, older brother is a gangbanger, mother is a drug user. He's grown up, obviously he's a sweet kid, but his influences are evil.
Mm.
So he grows up, gets to 15, 16, starts dealing drugs, carries a gun because it's what his peers have told him is good. It's what he's got to do to earn his stripes. Say 18, he kills someone over a drug deal. Should he then be put to the death?
Because you're a product of your environment, you can't help it. But equally, serial killers can't help but kill. You know, paedophiles can't help.
So do you think all of the empathy has been drained out of him?
I think so, yeah. I think there's... It's a very sensitive issue, this, in the sense that...
It's a tough question.
Are they beyond repair? No, they're not beyond repair. Are they likely to change their ways?
Or willing.
Or willing to change their ways? That's a difficult question. It depends on the person. Look at, the issue is behind every successful, if we look at rappers, behind most successful rappers are very strong and supportive mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Or fathers,
ironically, they talk a derogatory to women in derogatory terms.
Yeah, but the oppressed always becomes the oppressor.
Someone said that to you on Twitter recently.
Oh, that's what I said to them.
Oh, okay.
I think that's always the case. I think you'll always, because you get power, you can then command more. You know, a lot of it is bravado as well. I'm not sure.
It's egocentric, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they believe in what they say necessarily, but because it sells records, they might have to.
So, okay.
Which again is hurtful.
Yeah. Let's stray from the beaten path. Let's go from serial killers and underprivileged people.
By the way.
Go on.
Did you
cut me off midstream?
Yeah, I will do.
Cunt.
Wow. I was reading about serial killers. There's about 200 serial killers in the United States alone that haven't been caught.
Good on them.
And do you know why?
Keeping that population down.
Predominantly, it's because interstate police forces don't
communicate with each other.
Yeah. Or they don't know that they should.
It's
because a blonde girl dies in Ohio, a blonde girl dies in Chicago, they don't know whether to talk to each other.
Yeah, it's bad. If it was me, I would. I'd just pick up the phone.
Yeah, but then you have to ring 50 states.
All right, I'd develop a system then. I'd develop a homicide system that every single police department
is
has
locked.
Access to.
Yeah, I think now that artificial intelligence is huge.
Wait, you don't even need artificial intelligence, just an algorithm.
Wait, which is partly artificial intelligence. But yeah, I understand what you mean. Sorry, but you were going to ask.
Well, I was going to ask before you cut me off. Because, you know, you're egocentric. Stop vaping, it's bad for you. Dimitri's sucking a pussy stick right now, he loves it. My question was going to be your thoughts on paedophilia and where they stand in your estimations. Because I read a...
The worst kind.
Well, before... We'll just retract that statement very briefly.
No, the worst kind.
No, just shut up for a minute. I'm a paedophile. I'm not. But I find you attractive and you're very boyish. I don't. And you're not.
Okay.
So the article that I read was an unnamed guy. And he went to therapy because...
Michael Jackson. Yeah, go on.
No. It was me. He... is a self-confessed paedophile.
Okay.
Not that he's never touched kids, so the article says.
I think I've read the same article. Yeah, go on.
So he's never touched them, but he knows that he's attracted to them. He's married and he's got kids, I think.
Yeah.
But he's attracted to them and he's ashamed that he's attracted to them.
Yeah.
Now, I felt really sorry for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Same.
And I thought, what a terrible secret to keep.
Yeah.
And to have to hold close to your chest.
Yeah. His I think his point, correct me if I'm wrong, his point was that I can't reveal this to anyone because yeah. I will be shunned by society.
Oh, he will be a social pariah.
I can't, but I don't want to do anything about my urges because I know it's wrong.
Yes. And the interesting thing is, I'm sure the statistic, I'm just getting this from my memory, I'm sure the statistic was 5% of paedophiles in global population.
I can imagine there are. My thing, the reason why I say worst kind, they're the worst kind that act on it.
Yes. I agree. But the thing that I'm alluding to is it's clearly genetic. So it's the same with the serial killers, really. Well, the same with the psychopath, you know, that they're obviously genetically, they're different to us. Physiologically, in their brain, they're different to us. They don't have the ability to detect remorse.
Mm.
You know, they're not the same. You can stick them in an MRI and show them a load of images and the parts of the brain just won't flare up.
Well, yeah, they think... they are wired completely differently.
Yeah, so they're essentially a different subspecies. But the same can be said for paedophiles.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Look,
the odd thing about paedophiles also, before you, you know, because I'm just going to interrupt you because I can. The odd thing is that it was once okay. It was okay for a man to marry an 8-year-old.
Still is in some countries. Well,
it still is in some countries, yeah. But it's just, it's such an odd shift in social standing. You know what I mean? It used to be okay for you know, I'm talking thousands of years ago, back in ancient Rome. You know, the young lads of well-reputed families used to go down there and basically wank off men.
Yeah.
That's weird, though, right?
It is.
It's such an advanced society as the Romans.
But they would say that they're not as advanced as we are.
Well, no,
as in people now would say, they're not as advanced as we are. Therefore,
no, but at the time they were the most advanced.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think at the same time we now recognise that actually, if you, it affects people's psychology further down the line as they become an adult. Mm. And also because it's socially unacceptable. Kids are no longer willing to do that. So a lot of the time when they're being sexually assaulted, well, I would say most of the time, they're doing it without their consent or understanding of what's happening.
Right.
Do I feel sorry for paedophiles in general? Yes, I do, because it must be the worst thing to think that you only want children. Do I feel sorry for the ones that actually go on to commit crimes? Okay, put it this way. Did I feel sorry for the guy in the article that we just talked about who is a paedophile but doesn't want to act on it? Yes, I do. Do I feel sorry for Jimmy Savile? No, I don't.
No, of course you don't.
It's a really... I recognise that it is a very... It is a disease. And a lot of the time, they can't control their urges in terms of what they want, what they find attractive and what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you take it as far as raping a child, I don't see how you can... I just don't accept that as a... I don't accept that as a sensible thing to do in any case.
No.
Whether you're sick psychologically or not. Here's a question for you, though. With recent improvement... technological and technological improvement in sex dolls. Do you think that paedophiles will actually no longer can satisfy their thirst by going after like a robotic sex doll that looks like a child? As a paedophile yourself, how do you feel about that? Or do you think that
I think you'll get a primary dip. So primarily, you know, you'll get a dip in crime, perhaps. But then I think, without wanting it to sound so crass, I think once the novelty is worn off. And they've shagged their doll as many times as they can. I don't think it's going to quench the thirst.
So it might be a temporary fix, but not...
Yeah. I mean, but what about... you're going to give them a new one every time and, you know, it gets a bit racier and it tries to run away and stuff.
Wow. Well, they do say that the thrill is in the hunt.
But no, I mean, I think you'd have a dip, and then I think you'd have a sharp spike, because it's not, it's just not the real thing, is it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's, well, it's the same as adult sex dolls. It's the same as
real sex. Yeah. You're gonna, you know, you could give a rapist a doll, but at the end of the day, a rapist wants to rape.
Yeah.
And a doll, it can't give or not give consent.
Where do you stand on capital punishment on rapists?
Yeah, rapists are a bit of a grey area, really, aren't they? It's a, obviously, it's a massively abhorrent crime. But they're not murderers, but they do want to rape people. I think maybe, I'm not going to say give them this three strikes law, because that's dreadful, but I would certainly think they need to go into my work program.
Do you think they should be castrated?
Yeah. If they show a tendency that they cannot repress their urges, then I think they should. Yeah, I don't think castration's a bad idea.
But say, because repress their urges implies that they tell someone that they're a rapist or that they have these urges, or they keep repeating the offence. So say, horrible thing, but say, you know, your friend that we were talking about who got spiked in the club.
Yep.
Say that went further, God forbid, and she got raped.
Yep.
Now, this guy might have done it the first time. His first time ever. Do you not think that, because I do, I think they should be chemically castrated.
Nip it in the bud straight away.
Yeah. Because I think it's one of those issues that once you get a taste for it, I think you will normalize it in your head.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of the times it's never just the one rape or the one sexual assault. I think once you do it once and you get that rush of power and control, you will keep doing it.
Yes, I have a tendency to agree, but I think obviously you'd need to treat each case individually.
Absolutely, absolutely. The reason why I recall that case specifically is because there was clearly
intent
to cause, you know, there was calculated actions of what we assume is a guy who spiked your friend's drink.
Yeah.
To knock her out of consciousness.
Yeah.
In a busy club. And if that intent shows either that it's their first time and they're testing the grounds.
Yeah.
Or they've done it before and this is how they pray.
I would probably go for the latter, given the details.
But I think either way, I would want to make sure that those people are, because, I would want to make sure that those people can't do that to anyone else.
Yeah. I would agree, and I would sanction a good chemical castration.
And I just want to make a warning now. This isn't because we are right wing and we just think everyone should die who does it, who commits a crime. What we're talking about are crimes which are of heinous nature, but also ones which psychologically will predominantly lead to more crimes of similar nature, if not done something about it.
Yeah.
I don't think that if you jail a paedophile and then release him after 20 years, he will stop being a paedophile.
No.
I don't think that a serial rapist stops just because he goes to prison.
Definitely not.
People who sell drugs might not do the same thing once they come out of prison, because they sold weed 3 times and they got caught and they think, you know what, the risk is not worth it. The reward is not worth the risk. But people who are psychologically ill to the point that they have the urge to either rape, kill, or sexually assault kids, I don't think you can stop that just by them going to prison. Which is why a lot of the times they're given life sentences.
Yeah. And that's just a massive drain on resources and money.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And I wonder why, you know, our whole conversation about this is not because we're just flippantly discussing this, but it's an exploration of the morality of taking someone else's life, but also looking back as to the reasons why you would be compelled to do so as a state. Not only finances, but also it's the fact that these people are beyond repair. And why would you, what would be the point in keeping those people alive in prisons?
Yeah, it's an aimless existence, and it's a pointless drain on funds at the end of the day.
But look, I would welcome anyone who listens to the podcast who has a different, because we can't think of everything, but if some people have something to say about it, or they want to offer their 10 cents, then absolutely, I would love to hear from you guys, because the reason why we agree on this is because we are friends and we have similar outlooks on life in general. But
yeah, it would be nice to have an opposing view.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, do I think every life is sacred? Yes, I do. Do I think your life is as sacred if you killed someone and you have the urge to kill them again, to kill people again? That's what I... Because if life is not sacred to this person, then why should it be sacred to the majority?
Yeah. Well, we can translate that into why is your life sacred, and why, you know, it's okay to eat meat.
Well, yeah. This is where it's weird when it comes to animals. It's a bit out of sight, out of mind, isn't it?
Yeah. I watched a video the other day, how they kill lambs in abattoirs.
Yeah.
And horrible. I mean, I'm a vegetarian already, but it made me sick, angry, and frustrated watching it. It literally brought tears to my eyes. I was livid at how an animal could be treated like that. And it makes me never... I'm not going to go vegan, but it makes me not want to eat... Oh, I don't eat meat. The only meat I will eat is fish when I catch it. That's the difference.
Interesting. Okay.
But, you know, as opposed to an animal being raised for the slaughter, going to the abattoir, essentially what they do is they hang them by the feet, pop a quick electrode onto their head, doesn't do anything. And then, you know, this guy was just methodically stabbing 4 or 5 of them into the jugular, and they were just, you know, dying there and then.
Yeah, I kind of...
It's abhorrent, mate.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I have some friends who are vegetarian who went to a wedding in Mongolia.
Right.
And part of the wedding ceremony...
Oh, you told me this.
Yeah, part of the wedding ceremony was to slaughter a sheep for some meat.
Right.
For the wedding, for the dinner. And the way that they did it was very quick. As in, it was a quick slice of the throat. The animal died pretty much immediately. And they themselves, who are quite hardline vegetarians, said, you know what? Out of everything that I've seen, that is probably the most humane way that we saw an animal die for meat. It wasn't done in a huge abattoir with a shotgun or with a bolt gun or whatever, that you know, the sheep wasn't, the sheep wasn't abused or tied to one post or confined into a small space.
So I'm assuming that the sheep was well cared for.
Yeah.
You know, a free-ranging animal.
Yeah, part of the flock.
An adult sheep.
Yeah. And they said, you know, and they had, you know, they didn't want to disrespect the family because they don't really understand vegetarianism in my country and other countries around Eurasia continent. So they didn't want to disrespect them, especially as they were invited to a wedding, etc., etc. So they had some, but they said, you know, you don't feel as guilty than if you buy a pack of chicken breast from a faceless corporation.
Yeah.
Even though you don't see the animal die, you don't, you know, blah, 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 but you kind of know that it's lived a fairly satisfactory life.
Yeah. It to me, it's dreadful. It's right up there. And when you have people doing these jobs, you know, what's your day job? I work in an abattoir and every day I stab 500 lambs to death. What?
The thing that I hate is there was a famous undercover video of that Peter shot and released of farmers just going around and kicking animals in an abattoir or in a feeding shed. It's just like, what drives you to kick a chicken walking past you?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is a normal thing to do?
Yeah, why is it okay?
Because you wouldn't do that to a human because of
physical repercussions. Yeah, if a baby goes
crawling
past you.
Yeah, exactly. You don't do it. So why the fuck do you think it's normal for you to... And, you know, and I'll put my hand up and say that, obviously, I'm also at fault at this because I eat meat and I buy meat from supermarkets, but I try to go to a local butcher's who are a bit more, maybe, possibly a bit more moral in the way that they treat their animals. But again, you just don't know.
That's why I don't buy it.
Yeah, you just don't know.
You're right. I used to, where I, at a previous job, I used to get meat off of a guy who I worked with. He had like a small holding and he had a few animals.
Oh, I thought you meant cock, sorry.
No. That was a different job.
Oh, okay.
This one was legitimate. The other one was prostitute on the weekend down on the docks in Portsmouth.
Sure.
Different kind of meat, mate. All right, I'm talking about lamb, not pork.
Sure.
So that's going in my stand-up.
A pork sword.
Exactly. So, you know, entering my wormhole. He had his own small holding, and you know, he'd raise the animals, feed them healthily. They're all running around as they want to, and then he would individually kill them, not in sight of each other, queuing them up in an abattoir.
Yeah.
But he would slaughter them himself and get all the prime cuts and et cetera, et cetera. And I did have some of the cuts and it was nice. And I didn't mind it because I knew the guy, I knew who it had come from. I'd even seen the animal, you know, prior to its demise. But that's a bit more acceptable to me. I don't have a problem with meat eating. I have a problem with the mass production, the raping of the land, the mass production, the disgraceful treatment of the animals.
Yeah.
You know, you're about to eat this thing. Why aren't you giving it care and love?
Yeah.
You're about to eat it. I mean, again, I don't want to keep going back to the fucking ancient Romans, but it used to be the prime animals. It was a prized possession that you would offer up to the gods and then consume. Why is it any different now? Because it's going into a fucking beef burger. Do you know what I mean? It's consumerism for the masses, and it's made us lose all respect for any other living thing. It's disgraceful.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think the way that we treat animals, like you said, that we're going to consume, given that they're giving their life away, it is shocking. And it is a bit, it's kind of, as I said, it's a bit out of sight, out of mind situation where a lot of people just don't want to think about it, because if they do, if they found out how these animals get onto their plates, they would not. They just wouldn't eat it.
I think some people would, because I think some people just don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
That's why they buy low-grade chicken nuggets that are made from beaks and anuses.
Tasty, though, so...
That's McDonald's. Just saying.
Well, well, you know.
Don't believe 100% that,
chicken breast, so...
Yeah. Look for the little asterisk at the bottom that says, breast is a new word for beaks and anuses.
Oh, God.
And the occasional feather.
Just to lighten up the mood and go off the track here. What did you think of a Darwin school play axed after complaints?
Well, I think you'll know what I thought about it from my highly evocative tweet.
On Yarn, Podcast Yarn, at Podcast Yarn on Twitter.
Just saying.
But do you think this is political correctness gone mad?
No, I think it's just fucking ridiculous, mate. I know we're trying to stop swearing a bit and...
But sometimes you're compelled to, though.
Oh, I really am, because this is just a different level of stupid, isn't it? Sorry, didn't the Pope come out and say, yeah, we believe in evolution?
Well, no, he said that Genesis is probably not 100% factual.
Alluding to...
But he didn't say that it was evolution, he just said, yeah, it's... Well, okay, so for those who don't know, a school has axed a musical on evolution over its suggestive lyrics and portrayal of Christian views. Darwin Rocks, about the scientist Charles Darwin, was due to be performed by about 90 pupils at Hartford Manor Primary School in Cheshire. The move follows 6 expressions of concern from parents, and it's been axed.
It's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous that it was axed.
I understand why it was axed if it made fun of religion.
Yeah. There's not exactly Bible burning going on stage, is there?
Well, hopefully not. But if it was just axed because of Darwin's theory of evolution, then that's bullshit. Sorry, I don't.
100%.
I don't.
And the thing is, why do the Christian parents get a say over the non-Christian?
Well, because they're the offended party. I think at the moment, right, it's like a sport where people who get offended the most and most frequently...
Yeah, win.
...get some kind of a social medal, moral medal.
Yeah.
I mean, and the issue is that left-wing supporters are starting to put more and more prohibition on freedom of speech. And I just wonder, do they not realise that they give the right a moral victory by the fact that suddenly the right are saying, oh no, we should be able to say whatever we want to say. It's just, I just find it a bit stupid.
Yeah, it's massively stupid.
It's I was tweeting, so I think I sent you this image, where she said, "Yeah, I'm all for freedom of speech, but if you come here with your racist views, then fuck off."
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't think you know the definition of freedom of speech, love. If that's the case.
Yeah.
I
think we've had a few. Are we heading down to Twitter corner?
Yeah.
Because I think we've had a few. In regards to freedom of speech, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the other one is Liam Neeson that I find, which is a bit... So the guy says that a person close to him called him, who's a woman, tells him that she was raped. He asks, who was it? She says, it was a black guy. In acts of rage, he was pacing the streets of Ireland looking to start a fight with a black guy, in his words, so he could kill him. Now he, X number of years later, came out and said, this was a stupid way of doing it. Vengeance begets violence, which begets more vengeance. I'm really ashamed of how I thought and what I was trying to do, and I hope people learn from my mistakes. Now, what does that tell you about him? What was he actually trying to say? Occam's razor, right? He was saying, I was being racist. It was a stupid way of thinking about it. Please don't think the same way.
Do you want to just describe Occam's razor for people who aren't familiar with Occam's razor?
So Occam's razor is a theory that if you start young... No. I'm joking. Occam's razor is a theory that the most obvious answer is probably the right one.
Yeah.
So a lot of the... But people started reading into Liam Neeson's article or interview saying that he was racist, he should be shunned from society, blah, blah, to the point that his... the premiere for his film was cancelled. Because of that.
Yeah, I saw. And... I can't... I didn't agree with it.
No. So I said, look, the guy taught Batman to fight and countless number of Jedis. His daughter's been kidnapped more often than she wasn't. Can we not just forgive him now?
Mm.
I just don't... And people got offended for absolutely... It's clear that they just haven't read past, I was looking to fight a black guy. They didn't read the part where he feels ashamed about it. They didn't read about where he says, please do not feel the same way. Do not seek vengeance just because it begets more violence.
Mm.
Do not place people... do not disregard a whole community for the actions of a single person. They just read into, oh, well, he's a racist. That's it.
Yeah, it was very... well, I don't want to use the term, but people just looked at it very black and white, didn't they?
Yeah. It's kind of... Oh, mate, it's kind of...
I was just looking for... Because we had a bit of a Twitter war with people with our last show about freedom of speech, etc. And coincidentally, I think just after we'd recorded it, Ricky Gervais sent out a tweet saying, if you don't believe in free speech... If you don't believe in free speech for people who you hate, fear and disagree with, then you don't believe in free speech.
Yeah, I agree.
So I put the... it's actually not a Voltaire quote. I forget who it is now. It's a lady. But she said, I disapprove of what you say, but I'll defend to your death the right to say it. And someone tweeted back and said...
I never agreed with that statement.
Yeah, I never agreed with that statement. What else did she say? Something like... I will never agree with racist bigots who are putting women down, but alluding to sort of the more extreme ends of Islam, really, weren't they? She's actually deleted the tweet.
Has she?
Yeah, I'm just looking for it now, because obviously our two replies, I replied and then you replied, and I think it shut her down a little bit. Because I said to her, just because they say it doesn't mean that it's right or that you have to agree with it. But how else does a society progress if we don't understand the, you know, what's going wrong with it? And you only know what's going wrong with it by people expressing their views. And you replied to her and said, you know, who decides what's considered racist, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, she's deleted. She's not wanted to take the debate any further.
No, of course not, because she knows she's wrong. The fact that she can say that means that there's freedom of speech. And the fact that she defines hatred in what she feels is hateful is so subjective. Because religious people will disregard atheists, but think that any attack on religion is hate speech.
Yeah.
Well, atheists will beg to differ. So, in that case, you know, who do you approve of?
Absolutely.
It's mate. It's kind of.
I had another one actually. someone, I think they attributed a fake quote to Winston Churchill. The quote was, "Keep England white is a good slogan." And basically people are saying, oh, Churchill was a racist and a bigot and a sexist and this, that and the other. Basically slating him. And I just put, saved your rights to free speech though, didn't he? Mm. So something good came out of it. I think people are just jumping on the bandwagon now of being offended. And I mean, you're looking back at a guy who was living in an era when racism was still rife.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy who was born in the 1800s. You can hardly bring him up on today's view on society and culture. The guy's dead.
Yeah.
And was born in like 1880 or something. Do you know what I mean? He was born when Queen Victoria was still stomping around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't really, you know, should we just bring back Caesar?
Yeah. Well, oh. But this is the other thing, right? When people say, oh, white male privilege. Oh, you know, white men started World War II.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, okay. But Tom hasn't. So don't... He wasn't even born then. So why would you attribute the fault of all white men to... And just blanket statements say, oh, yeah, it's all the white man fault.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, some women are bitches. Does that make all women bitches? Oh, yeah. No, well, clearly not. Oh, okay, so... Sorry, how does that work then?
Yeah.
Oh, but, you know, slavery was a white man thing. It's like, yeah, okay, it was, but... I'm not saying that it should be disregarded, but it doesn't mean that all white men are racist.
No.
Or slave owners.
No.
Or slave wanters, whichever way. Yeah. Anyway...
So let's wrap it up. Yeah. Dimitri, how can these people can get reach in contact us? With us? Well, I asked you first.
Well, I think I finished my sentence first. So on Twitter, we're @podcastyarn,
yep.
Or if you type in Yarn Spinners Podcast, I'm sure you'll find us. Can't be that many.
if they're talking about knitting, wrong group.
Yeah. On Facebook, I think we're Yarn Spinners 1.
Yep.
And you can also email us on... yarnspinnerspodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, you can.
Right, well, cheers for that, Tommy, and I'll see you soon.
Okay, Dimmy. Ta-ta.
Don't know what that is. Peace!
Peace!